This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. President Obama announced plans this week to resettle 10,000 Syrian refugees across the U.S. next year. But Governor Pat McCrory says he doesn't want them in North Carolina until the president can guarantee the refugees aren't a threat.
Are the people coming from Syria, are they all people who we can ensure are safe to our citizens and are not terrorists? And we want to ensure that they have the proper background checks before they're accepted into the state of North Carolina.
That was Governor Pat McCrory at a press conference on Monday. McCrory joins more than half of the nation's governors who have requested not to have Syrian refugees sent to their states. We reached out to Governor McCrory to be on this program. He declined our request. My guest is Duke Asian and Middle Eastern Studies Professor Miriam Cook. Welcome back to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. A delight to be here.
The governor and a number of other governors across the country say they're concerned about the screening process. Are we safe? What do you know about refugees in terms of what's vetting and screening they go through right now?
I would say that America probably has the most stringent, rigorous vetting screening process of any country anywhere. As a country made up of refugees, going back to the 17th century, we're very accustomed to opening our doors to refugees from all over the world. So for anyone coming from Nigeria, Myanmar, Syria, Iraq, they have to go through FBI, State Department, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Defense. And this is true for all refugees. But this is also true for anyone who's working in the American government. I have a student now who's has applied for a job in USAID. It is absolutely rigorous, the process she goes through. And of course, it's so different from Europe, where we have thousands of people pouring in on a daily basis. We don't have that.
Well, what about that, though, that this is such a crisis that there appears to be, at least if you just watch the media accounts of this, it looks a bit chaotic. Now, our governor seemed not to know what the vetting process was, even though we've taken in refugees already. He's saying he doesn't know what that process is. He needs to communicate with the White House. So it's interesting to think about how he let them in already. But clearly he wants to know now. And maybe there is a reason to know, because after all, this is a refugee crisis we're seeing more and more. Is it easier to slip through now that there are so many refugees pouring across various borders?
Well, of course, we're talking about 1,854 Syrian refugees in America since 2012, as opposed to 750,000 asylum seekers allowed into Germany in this past year. We hardly have a lot, and in our own state, we have 59 Syrian refugees. And I think the problem with what Governor McCrory has said is that he's collapsing Syrians between those who are in Islamic State and those who are fleeing Islamic State. So we have to be very careful about who it is that is committing the violence against whom. Because, of course, Islamic State is much more interested in attacking Muslims in Muslim countries, because what they're trying to do is create an Islamic State like the one of Muhammad's in the 7th century. And so if there are Muslims who are not good Muslims, in other words, who aren't radicals like them, they're much more interested in attacking them, which is why we have 4 million refugees out of Syria now who are fleeing for their lives, because if they don't act like 7th century Muslims, then they will be killed. They will be beheaded.
So you're talking about one of the biggest refugee crises in the world, certainly in this century. It rivals those of the 20th century. And as you say, give us a breakdown, too, of how many Syrian refugees have been placed in other countries. And again, the comparison to how many in the United States.
Yes. Of course, the largest number are around the borders of Syria. So in Lebanon, there are 2 million. That now becomes a quarter of the total population in Lebanon. And it also has led to a very sad situation where the those who had fled from Lebanon during its civil war and were welcomed into Syria, now the Syrians are finding themselves stigmatized in Lebanon. Lebanon and Syria used to be part of the same country. In Turkey, there are over a million. In Jordan, over a million. And in Germany, just in terms of actual refugees, in other words, according to the definition of the 1951 UN Convention on the Status of Refugees, there are already 93,000 actual refugees who have been through this process that may take up certainly months, and sometimes will take years.
And President Obama said that by adding the 10,000, which is a much smaller number than any of the numbers you've named, by adding those 10,000 next year, he spoke at the G20 summit in Turkey and assured that the vetting process would continue in this country.
All of our countries have to ensure our security. And as president, my first priority is the safety of the American people. And that's why even as we accept more refugees, including Syrians, we do so only after subjecting them to rigorous screening and security checks. We also have to remember that many of these refugees are the victims of terrorism themselves. That's what they're fleeing. Slamming the door in their faces would be a betrayal of our values. Our nations can welcome refugees who are desperately seeking safety and ensure our own security. We can and must do both.
President Obama speaking about allowing 10,000 Syrian refugees in the U.S. next year. I'm talking with Duke Asian and Middle Eastern Studies professor Miriam Cook. And so the question, too, arises. We've seen this instantly. Governors galvanized around this question. It was very quick that the number of governors all of a sudden had this response. All but one are Republican. So you'd be naive to say there's no political element in all of this. What's the effect? What's the effect on the refugee process of this move by these, as I say, mostly Republican governors to raise these questions now?
Well, first of all, a process that is enormously slow and very problematic for the refugees who are here anyhow, because they're only given 3 months of guaranteed housing and support. So this process is going to be slowed up even more. It means that, for example, let's just stay with North Carolina, the 59 Syrians who are in North Carolina are going to be stigmatized because they each one is going to be thought as a potential terrorist. And, of course, this is going to be, I fear, part of a broader move on the part of these primarily Republican governors to follow Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz and to say, well, you know, if we are going to take in Syrians, why don't we just take in Christians? So what we have here are two problems. One is the 51 convention that I just mentioned on the status of refugees mandates non-discrimination. So we can't discriminate against a refugee, somebody who has a well-grounded fear of losing freedom and life by going back to their country, we are virtually saying we're not with non-refoulement. In other words, we're perfectly happy for them to go back into that situation of danger. And what we have is not what I've been reading everywhere, the emergence of xenophobia. Actually, it is an aggravation of Islamophobia.
Well, and interesting too, I guess in terms of security, what we know so far of those associated with the terror attack in Paris or the attacks, most of them were European citizens. It does appear that one may have slipped through with a false passport. I'm wondering if it's easier to get into a country with false documents than to actually apply for refugee status, where there's another kind of layer of scrutiny. If I had false documents, would I then apply for refugee status, or would it be easier for me to slip in with my false documents?
Yeah, I think it's the situation in Europe is so different from here. Of course, with the Schengen countries, we have 20 European countries that don't have borders, And of course, as we've been hearing in the past few weeks, these borders are now being quickly redrawn. And with the number of people who are pouring across the borders, this includes people from Central Africa who are economic migrants. The situation in Europe is very, very different. But I think it's worth paying attention to what happened in Paris a few days ago, and that is that of these terrorists, only one is thought to be not homegrown. Right. In other words, basically what we have is six or seven Timothy McVeighs. So what we have to worry about is not so much those that are coming in, but Timothy McVeighs.
I want to thank you very much for being on our program. Miriam Cook, a professor of Asian and Middle Eastern Studies at Duke University. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about a new exploration of the novel Don Quixote, and we'll talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.